I think one of the great things about food systems development is that we can do something different, whereas there tends to be a big push. And again, it goes back to what I was saying before about, you know, hey, this strategy for economic development of these low-income countries, you know, it's agriculture. You know, agriculture is the foundation. You got to start there, and then we're going to build everything else sort of off that. That usually translates into saying, well, let's replicate the U.S. model. Let's replicate the European model. You know, let's take all these technologies and techniques that since the Green Revolution have really pushed agricultural yields just in amazing ways, but at the same time have had some serious repercussions as a result. Those externalities of the U.S. model are being felt and will be felt for a long time to come. What I think is we have a chance to say there's a different way of doing it.
I'm joined on the podcast today by Kelly Bishop. Kelly has worked in the international development field for nearly 20 years, specializing in food security, livelihoods, and natural resource management through systems strengthening and private sector engagement. Kelly spent more than 12 years in West Africa working for development organizations as well as private sector companies. There, he served as an animal husbandry specialist with the Peace Corps, led a breeding and reintroduction project for the North African ostrich with the Sahara Conservation Fund, served as team lead for the renewable energy sector at SNV, a Dutch development organization, and he was principal advisor for a social marketing project funded by a German development bank. He spent his time in the private sector working in natural resource management. Kelly currently serves as the Director of Resource Development for the Food Security and Livelihoods team at World Vision US. At World Vision, Kelly has led bids to secure over $200 million in new awards involving multiple stakeholders. Kelly considers himself to be a purposeful thinker and problem solver, working at the intersection of strategic planning, business development, partnership building, communications, and technical support. Hi, Kelly. Thanks for joining me on the Capstone.
Hi, Lisa. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Oh, I'm glad to have you on the Capstone. Your bio is so impressive. I hope your forthcoming master's degree in sustainable food systems will provide some additional value to your work.
It will. And I am happy to take the degree and the knowledge I gained through the great courses and learnings from professors and take it forward into my career. And I think it's great timing because food systems is becoming such an important part of the language in development these days.
Yes, absolutely right. And we'll look forward to seeing your work continue. I would like to start with asking you to introduce the title of your capstone.
Yes, so it is Finding a Common Definition of Food Systems Development, a literature review.
Okay, well, it's going to be very interesting to dive into your methods and your findings and your insights. But to begin, because your project is situated in a global context and place-based work is something we talk a good bit about on the podcast, I have a question about life places. You have lived internationally for a considerable amount of time and you're currently living in the US. So I'm wondering if there were any experiences that were grounded in place that may have guided, inspired, or informed your capstone project.
Yeah, absolutely. I first moved overseas, was with Peace Corps. This would be end of 2002. And I served 2 years in a very rural location, in a grass hut with no running water and living in, with the group of Tuaregs and local people there. In that situation, I really just got a firsthand look at how hunger affects people, a very large percentage of people that I came to find out later. Food security and hunger and poor nutrition plays such a large part of the lives of many people around the world, the world's poorest in low-income countries and emerging economies as well. And I did see that firsthand just from living among people in Niger. But further in life, my experiences traveling the world and my current job, where I'm often in low-income countries, they're working to develop projects and such related to food security and many of the food system outcomes and such. I get to see how the global food system, down to local food systems, how both the positive and negatives of the system function affect people.
Well, I'm guessing that the topic for your capstone was partially a response to some of this and to identifying maybe a gap or a need in the type of work that you do. So maybe you can tell us what motivated you to select the capstone project.
Well, I think first, just seeing food systems come up more and more in international development documents and conversations and conferences and such. I think a lot driven by UN agencies in the beginning. And for me, I would say probably 2016, around there, with the US government's global food security strategy. I think there's language in there about improving food systems and contributing to food systems. And I think for there, I was the first time I really saw food systems as a term and described as a system in some way. Later on, I was sitting in a conference for market systems development. And in there, in this, I was sitting among in a group of other development professionals in Washington, D.C., and we were talking about market systems development. And I said, look, you know, I think it's interesting to look at like how market systems development fits in with food systems. Like, where is the nexus of overlap of how do they how does one relate to the other, and this table of very smart, experienced people, you know, nobody had any idea. You know, one person said, well, what's the difference? One area that really piqued an interest for me is saying, okay, well, what, maybe that question needs to be answered, and I wanted to know more about it. You know, again, the last thing I would say is, you know, understanding that, you know, not only trying to define food systems development, you know, I think has a can contribute to international development, but also, you know, I wanted to develop some practical tools for food system practitioners. You know, if you want to do food systems development, well, what are the tools you need to do it? Now, ultimately, for this project, I wasn't able to make it that far, but I think it is work I would like to contribute to in future efforts that I take.
Well, with the project that you undertook, the literature review, so what was your methodology for that? How did you go about it?
It is a literature review, but it is not a systematic literature review. I would describe it more as a systematized literature review. I had one person even say, from a learning institution, say, you know, it's a mini literature review. And, you know, that's a, you know, maybe one way of starting to describe it. But I think in the emerging area of food systems development, even market systems development, there is a lack of peer-reviewed literature related to these fields. Therefore, doing a full systematic literature review just wasn't possible in my case. I had to integrate gray literature. And one of the things I did was, in speaking with and engaging with development professionals who were working in the food security sector, not always necessarily or almost never actually working as under a food systems type of role, but in the field of food security and livelihoods, you know, often they would point me in the direction. So I would ask questions, and someone would say, "Look, you know what? Here's a great paper, one that I found helpful," and they might point me in the direction. So it deviates from what a true systematic literature review would be, I sort of structured it by using sort of three categories of development actors. So when I went through and was thinking about these concepts, I said, okay, well, what I would like to do is look at how a government, a national government, like the US government, looks at these concepts. How does an international or an intergovernmental agency look at these concepts? And then how does an international NGO look at these concepts? So, you know, as I was conducting the literature search, you know, I looked at it in that way. So FAO was one that I focused on, the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. They've done a lot of work in food systems, and so they were a great resource. USAID with the U.S. government, and then World Vision was the international NGO that I used as a basis of information collection. I searched academic databases, Google searches, and as I mentioned before, I engaged with other experts.
Yeah, I like that sort of more snowballing methodology too, when you engage with people for their resources and ideas that they have and directions for searching. I'm sure that was kind of a neat way to approach it and maybe helped you uncover some things you might not have otherwise picked up on. But I love this sort of, you know, compare and contrast sort of arrangement. And I'm wondering, as you were sort of looking through there, what kind of themes or stories began to emerge from the data?
One, I think, is that there's not clear definitions. I think even older concepts like value chain developments, which, well, can be traced back to the 60s, but really became a more cohesive concept or even theory and concept in the mid-80s, late 80s. Even there, you know, there's a lot of debate on terminology and framework, and that extends even more so when it comes to market systems development. And again, just the newness of food systems development as a concept, there was this trend of a lack of definitions, a lack of frameworks, a lack of understanding of exactly, you know, being able to say what it is when it comes to food systems development. I think just when it relates to food systems, it's interesting to me to see the power imbalance. When we talk about global food system, how stacked the cards are against low-income countries. You know, they're at the mercy of markets in many cases. They have very little power to change their situation. And I think that's going to require an approach like food systems development at various scale. And I think we'll talk more about that, you know, as we go along here. But food systems exist at these various scales, local and regional and global. And I think that understanding how to change local food systems, I think in many of these developing economies, in order to improve the outcomes for those populations and seeing it from that perspective.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but that really resonated with me, because I think we tend to hear a good bit about local or community-based food systems as strategies to stimulate regional economies. But, you know, I'm not sure if we hear enough from folks about integrating these strategies to include the global. So, you know, what is your take on understanding the importance of food systems development for the international development community?
Yeah, good question. First, I would say if we look at the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, to name a few, zero hunger, decent work and economic growth, responsible consumption and production, you know, climate action, peace, justice, strong institutions. I mean, those are just a few, you know, of the 17. But I think if you can look at all 17 of them, and I can see how clearly that a food systems development approach can contribute to all 17 of those sustainable development goals. These are goals that are to be achieved by 2030. Not a lot of time left. But I think, first and foremost, to achieve them, food systems development can contribute to all of them. Secondly, I would say that in 2007, 2008, there was a global food security crisis where we saw commodity prices, especially for wheat and rice, severely, steeply increase, especially for in low-income countries. That led to countries like Niger, where I lived. And so I actually experienced this. I was in Niger, and I remember seeing the impacts of that crisis when I was in country and how it affected the village that, although I wasn't living in the village in 2008, that I had been in for 2 years, closely connected with the people there and still visiting them on a fairly regular basis, and saw how that global crisis that had nothing to do with them, it was related to, spikes in oil prices and related to the use of certain commodities for biofuels and policies that were not these countries' policies, but they affected how their food security and their ability to survive. And I don't say that lightly, because that situation actually, when you're talking about people who are already on the verge of malnutrition, especially children, it doesn't take much to push someone over the edge. And that food crisis did for many people. And I would say, then why food systems development? What can it contribute to the international development community? One, to just help prevent a crisis that, like what happened in 2008, from happening again. I would add to that, there's value in preserving and appreciating cultural heritage. And I think that food systems development pushes that as part of the strategy or approach. It values people and it values culture. And I think that in a globalized world where these where this can come under threat, I think a food systems development approach can help preserve that. Lastly, I would just say that I think it's an approach that can help bring dignity to all people. And I think that it's a real shame when you see, I would say the poor losing their dignity because they just lack power, agency to make decisions and to control the direction of their life. And I think food systems development can help right that wrong.
Yeah, what you're making clear is the sort of systems aspect, the complexity about how things are connected. And that's one really important aspect of teaching about food systems at Prescott College, emphasizing that systems thinking, understanding those dynamic aspects of relationships. These are very definitely, as you've just clearly laid out, are aspects of your capstone topic and of your work. So what are your thoughts about the relationships between value chain development, market system development, and food systems development?
I think I would break it down into two categories. One, what do they have in common? And then secondly, what's unique to food systems development? They're nested approaches, as in, if we start with value chain development, now I'd clarify by saying it's agricultural value chain and agricultural market systems, because value chains and markets don't only relate to agriculture, but when I'm talking about it here, this is related to agriculture.
Right, good. Good clarification, thanks.
if we start with value chains, then I think that serves as sort of like, this is the basis, this is looking at within a certain product, from inputs and production and, processing all the way to the end consumer. And those value chains are driven by consumer preference and demand. I think then we add to that, we can layer market systems development on top of that, market systems development encompasses value chains, because market systems only work through value chains, at least in this concept. And so when you're trying to use a market systems development approach, well, that then becomes, you need value chains to work through. And so, the market systems development is, really about changing the mindset of key actors within value chains in order that they see the poor as sources of production, as actors within, you know, production of the products that they market. They also see them as consumers of goods and services. So it's a change in mentality, these of companies, and trying to help them to see these 4 billion poor that are sort of left out of many of the formal markets, and say, look, you know what, here's an untapped source. And that if you use innovation, if you change the way you see them, you can tap into that. And then, you know, it's a win-win in that more of those poor either engage more deeply in value chains, or they receive goods and services that help them in other ways. So you see the market systems development layering, you know, onto value chains. And then you have food systems, which encompasses both of them. So, you know, food systems is very broad, and food systems involves markets and it involves value chains, you know, that engage within it. So it is broader still. So they sort of then become these sort of these nested approaches with food systems sort of encompassing both the others. So you then have some things in common. I think in all the literature I read, value chain development, market systems development, the ultimate goal is poverty reduction in a development context. I'll clarify that in that original value chain development theory by Michael Porter was not thinking of it in the same way as international development actors have used and adapted value chain theory in order to benefit the poor. So there's a little bit of there's definitely a difference in how that those two points of view work here. But anyway, but poverty reduction. So we look at it in value chain development, market system development. Clearly, that is the main goal of those two approaches. And as well, it is integrated and has it's a common outcome of food systems development as well. The other thing I would say is systems thinking. So they, all three of them do use systems thinking in the approach. They understand it's a system of actors and relationships and transactions and that it's complex. And so they use this systems thinking across all three. I think then we can look at how it's, what's unique about food systems development. And so I've found six key outcomes of food systems development. So poverty reduction being one of them. And that's the one that food systems development has in common with the others. But I would add to that food security, health, nutrition, social well-being, and environmental sustainability as other key outcomes of food systems development. And those are outcomes that are not part of the core framework of value chain development or market systems development. Now, sometimes these models approaches are adapted. So you will see, you know, sustainable value chains. You know, you will see things like inclusive market systems where one of agency or organization has adapted the sort of core concept and has put, you know, added something to it to be more inclusive, to be more sustainable. But that doesn't really, that's not common across the concepts as a whole. And even when that is done, it's not a, still does not take the place of the higher level goal of poverty reduction. They then become additions as they can be integrated, but they still are secondary to the key goal of poverty reduction. So another unique area or characteristic of food systems development, I would say respect for local culture. I would say it uses a multi-sectoral strategy. So because the outcomes that I mentioned earlier are cross-sectoral. The approaches in order to address those outcomes also need to be multi-sectoral. So this is a more broad and complex systems approach than you see in value chain development or market systems development. So another key characteristics of food systems development, I think, is how the concepts prioritize outcomes. So with value chain development, as I mentioned before, and market systems development, the highest level goal is poverty reduction. And so the economic development aspect of it takes precedence over any other outcomes that might be added or integrated into it. I think with food systems development, what you see is that economic development or the improvements in outcomes, these six outcomes, can't be at the expense of economic development. We can't sacrifice environmental sustainability in order to drive economic development benefits. So whereas I think we take value chain development, market system development very much grounded and rooted in global finance and markets and capitalism. And in that way, there becomes the key focus of them. But with food systems development, I think people are the center. And in that way, we look at how all these subsystems of the food system interact and benefit people. And that then no one outcome becomes more important than the other.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that's what circles back around to the sustainability and resilience. You know, if you're keeping all of those factors as not prioritizing one over the other, it seems then that at least one of your primary inquiries then is how these relationships can be clarified or better understood by the international development sector. So I do a lot of work with social system network building. And in that world, we talk about how to cultivate strategic values-based relationships in order to guide the emergence of positive change. So it's a slightly different way to characterize this, but how do you see this? How can investigating relationships help clarify or benefit the international development sector?
Well, I would say that I think it means changing social norms, you know, as they relate to gender, marginalized groups, youth, for example. I think that, you know, government and other actors should see the benefits of having a more inclusive strategy, for one. So, you know, you see sometimes that, and I think one of the problems, whether it's the global or, you know, down to local, is how people value relationships. And I think relationships that then are undervalued, you know, have a significant negative impact on those groups. So it's one of the things I think you see market systems development and food systems development. Well, I think value chain development as well. I think you can see these three concepts looking at trying to change the relationship and the value placed on the relationships between various actors within those systems. And I think that the more work that can be done to promote value in women and girls, marginalized groups, youth and others, even displaced people and such, that I think you can see a positive change in how the system functions itself. I think it'll be mutually reinforcing. I think you can we can get and move in that direction, you know, through greater knowledge and experience, especially of decision makers. I think, you know, sort of broadening your worldview. I think using approaches like social behavior change communication, promoting women in leadership positions, and adjusting policy, either global policy or national policy, to see that benefits of the food system are shared more equally. These things help in many ways, but I think one of the key, you know, we see a lot of conflict when those benefits aren't shared equally. So even related to just global security, you know, a lot of, you know, when certain groups aren't valued, this leads to a lot of conflicts, including what we see now, you know, Rohingyas in Myanmar and, you know, some of the Tuaregs in the Sahel and many other places as well. I would say, let me add to that, the relationship. So I think it's also important to clarify the relationships between the three concepts. And I know that in the previous, you know, question, my response did touch on that, but I would add to that a definition. One of the things I found is that there was not a good definition for food systems development that really clarified it for me. There's not a good definition definitions are plenty for food systems. But when it comes to trying to find a definition for exactly what is food systems development, that's a much harder thing to pin down. So what I did is I just came up with a working definition. I do think that helps to clarify things for development actors. What is food systems development? So my working definition is a human-centered, holistic, multi-sectoral approach to transforming production, market, and social systems to deliver improved food security, health, nutrition, and social well-being outcomes for all people in a way that preserves natural resources for future generations. And I think just having a definition like that, you know, is useful in itself to answer that question when I'm sitting in a conference or somewhere and someone says, you know, well, what's the difference? What is food systems development? I think having a definition is helpful.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I'm just thinking like, I'm going to love it when I see that definition come across in a student paper somewhere. And I'm going to say, oh, I know who coined that. Because I think absolutely, you know, these very complex concepts and as we're sort of we're in early days of trying to figure all this out, these ways of describing them and coming up with definitions that are functional are just immensely important. So I think that one is going to be a keeper. I liked that. Well, Kelly, I'm eager to bring in Dr. Robin Curry to the conversation. Dr. Curry, as many of you who listen to the podcast will remember, is the director of the Master of Sustainable Food Systems program at Prescott College. But she also has a wealth of international food systems experience as a researcher, as well as a former director of Mercy Corps in Kyrgyzstan. And there her work focused on food systems at the nexus of nutrition, agroecology, micro-entrepreneurship, and rural finance for smallholder farmers. So I want to welcome back to the Capstone, Robin.
Thanks so much, Lisa. As you were introducing me, I was thinking maybe finally I can put food systems development in my bio and have people understand what that is. So thank you, Kelly.
Yes, exactly. Well, we appreciate you joining us for the conversation. I know that you worked with Kelly on this project as his capstone advisor. And maybe you can just talk a little bit about the importance of projects like this.
It's really important because when a colleague, because we're colleagues in the sense that we have both worked in international development, but when a colleague and a student, as we switch our hats around, you know, comes to you with a question and, you know, it's like, well, what is food systems development? As we were having early conversations in his time with us as a student, it's like, really good question, because right. We didn't have a good firm articulation, and we still don't. It's, you know, as a complex adaptive system, it's hard to get these things pinned down because they're across so many sectors, as Kelly was mentioning. But point of the story is, if you don't have an answer, then that's certainly a worthy topic for research. So I was really excited that Kelly took this on as a way to kind of, in its most simplistic form, it's sort of like it's the academic version of a is not table, right? So what is value change development? What is it not? What is market system development? What is it not? And using that as a tool to help us understand how to better articulate, you know, what we know needs to happen, which is the transformation of food systems, because of all the reasons that Kelly mentioned, you know, it's not okay to have continued poverty. It's not okay for us to still have malnutrition levels globally the way that they are, both in developing country contexts and, you know, quote unquote, developed country contexts. We have serious nutrition challenges also in the United States related to micronutrient deficiencies and even, you know, our secondary heart disease and diabetes rates. So it's a global concern and something that no matter what the income of the country, we need to be focusing on, and we have to have a way to articulate and do that.
Yeah, and I don't know how you feel about it, Kelly, but I mean, I just kept thinking, you know, and this is one of the reasons that, you know, food systems is so attractive to me. You know, food is kind of this ultimate intersectional space, you know, and so just the recognition that all of these things, transportation issues, poverty issues, you know, biodiversity issues, all of these things you can think about come down to, it can be connected to food and can be, once you sort of figure out how to conceptualize and articulate it, can be brought to bear on sort of improving all of these things at the same time. It can be done with this food systems lens. I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, I would agree. You can't decouple humans and food and water as well as it relates to that and such. And not only is it a primal need, it supports cultural identity. It supports economic development. It cuts across, so much of any individual or any country's strategy, you know, economic strategy and development strategy as well. I mean, food is critical.
Kelly, I think you bring up a really good point. And I think for me, this is why, you know, I'm excited about what's next out of this, because, you know, value chain development focused on agriculture may or may not work towards conserving traditional agricultural systems or localized food systems, you know, if you're doing the traditional value chain development. So it can sometimes, you know, as you well know from your own work, it can result in a large shift in the structure of agricultural production and then livelihoods for families. So one of the things that's really exciting about food systems development approach is, you know, what happens when we are mindfully and with accountability to donors working in a single project on multiple outcomes. So if we are, as you mentioned, trying to develop activities around, you know, in a project that could have positive environmental outcomes, if we're developing activities in a project that could lead to poverty reduction, but we're also developing activities in a project that can support gender equity. So this is what's exciting about a food systems development approach. It's really transforming food systems to improve communities. And so I think kind of what's next is, you know, a challenge to Kelly and all the rest of our colleagues in international development is really working on developing our results frameworks. And Kelly identified, you know, six outcomes that that resonate with food systems development frameworks, and then starting to get donors to fund these more systems-based and holistic projects. So that toolkit, I hope Kelly and our colleagues out there, it's kind of a call for cooperation out there. If this is something that you'd all like to work on with us, because I think it's needed and necessary and exciting, Kelly, that you've got balls rolling here. So well done.
This has been a great conversation. Thanks, Kelly, and thanks, Robin, for being guests on the podcast. I want to thank our listeners as well and encourage those of you who have not had a chance to hear season 1 and 2 of The Capstone to check out our website at www.thecapstone.info for links to those episodes. So best of luck, Kelly, to you moving forward.
Thank you very much. Lisa and Robin. It's been great.
And thanks again, Robin, for joining us. Wishing everyone good health. I'm Lisa Trocchia.